God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, this is really fantastic. We are just so excited that we've got Paul and Deborah Reese from Wales on with at Balance Point Intergarden Online Chapel. We are familiar with BBS Radio. We've been on here many times before. We used to have a regular program on Sundays, and some of you out there know about us. Hi, Paul. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing there?
We're doing great. Talk a little bit about what your work is over there so people that are calling in have some idea what you do.
Well, Barbara, I mean, we're sort of, we do a bit of everything. I mean, basically what we are is we're mediums. We teach mediumship or teach awareness. We demonstrate all over the UK and also one-to-one readings. We do a lot of church services. We do a lot of theatre work. But of course, our passion is very much the teaching side of it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's a rewarding thing, isn't it? Because you see other people develop, because we can't help them all, but they can help themselves.
That's it. And, you know, there's nothing better than at the end of the day of a workshop where somebody who hasn't done anything before goes away thinking, wow, I can do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we truly believe, Barbara, that everybody carries an awareness. Everybody has an ability. And we love it when our workshops are filled with mixed abilities. We love it when we get someone or we get a group of people that comes that have done nothing at all to those then who are working with relatively high profiles. And we mix them in the workshops then. It's just fantastic, fantastic to eat then.
Yeah, we get most excited about that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, Don said something about maybe having somebody online there, so if he wants to put them through, he can, but in the meantime, you know, we'll just chat.
And, yeah, great.
And like you were saying, though, the teaching part of it, I think this is such a reward to be able to be in a class, and you've been teaching, maybe practicing for a number of years, being a facilitator, helping many people. You see somebody come in that has never done anything before, and all of a sudden, wow, they just blow your socks off because they're so good.
I think, Barbara, that what's good now, I mean, we're in the year 2009, and people's attitudes have changed towards mediumship or psychic mediumship. I mean, there's so many words for it at the moment, isn't it? And it is. It's become very fashionable now. It's become something that people are interested in. It's become a way of life for people now.
And it's not a coincidence, that, either. It's not a coincidence that everybody's getting, because people think about, you know, psychic abilities, awareness, you know, mediumship, but really and truly it's an awakening of the soul as well.
Well, you know, the thing is that it is basically just an extension of the senses we already have. It's just being more aware of what's coming in to the senses. That's all it is, really. And it's not really so mystic as what people think.
Oh, but
I mean, people are looking for more in their lives now, Barbara. Looking for a greater depth to their lives now, and that's where I am with the attitude is changing.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we like to teach in the workshops that we do there is very much we try and keep it as simple and as easy as we can, because what we feel is, we spent many of our years going through the SNU and being taught there, and we are currently doing an extensive teaching course ourselves there, and we've spent lots and lots of times within the SNU and very much do are influenced by the way that they teach with the way we teach, but also we like to bring in a young feel with it also, because there's a need to simplify your awareness and your mediumship. There's a need to keep it simple. So to understand that every person out there has an ability and can do this. And that's the way we very much like to teach in the workshop there, isn't it?
It is. And also, somebody said the other day that we like to demystify it. I like that, because that really sums us up as well, you know, because the more people mystify it, the more that people don't feel that they can do it.
Exactly. You know, many years ago, I did a program, I guess it would have been about 1983, and we were doing it like you do in the theaters, you know, sometimes. And we had about 300 people in the audience, and what we called the program is Coming Out of the Dark Ages, because the old idea of keeping it hidden, that only a few people could use it and only certain people were blessed with it, we kind of were dispelling all those things, and people were coming in and showing different demonstrations of their abilities. And it was a fabulous afternoon that we spent there. And now, you know, it's even more so.
Absolutely.
I've just been joined here by one of my members, and she's one of my board members, and Anne has just come in. So Anne's going to say hi too.
Hi.
How are you doing, Anne?
Hi, Anne.
Good. How are you?
She actually lives kind of, I don't know if you say kitty corner, you know, across the corner from me, and there's a neighbor next across from me, and two down from that, she lives there. And if you get bored with me, you can go to her house and have tea.
We can never get bored with you, Barbara.
There you go. Well, you can ask Anne. She lives closer. Maybe she's got a different idea. She likes me every once in a while. But, you know, it's going to be really great. And there's a lot of people, isn't there, that are really waiting for this. And Gail will say the same thing. But maybe Anne, give them your voice, Anne, and maybe ask them if there's something around you that just give you a little bit of help here. See if there's anything that you guys are picking up about Anne.
Okay.
Hi, Deborah and Paul. How are you today?
I'm
good. Oh, I'm great.
Good.
Are you sitting further back in the room somewhere there, Anne?
Oh, yeah, closer to the thing here.
I was just a little far away from the microphone.
Ah, that's better. We just so we could hear your voice a little better there. And my first feel there with yourself is that you're very logic in how you think. My first feel with you is that you're very strict in how you I would say in how you get your awareness and how you work with it. It's almost as if you question it a lot, even though it's very easy for yourself. That's the first feel I have with yourself. It's strange because the kind of feel where you always put your feelings at the back and you always straight forward to be sure everybody else is looked after, everybody else is going fine. The kind of feel there where you always seem to put yourself on the back burner.
Sometimes. Not always.
It's a feel there with yourself, Anne, that I must say it's a kind of feel where you're very, how can I say, disciplined with your emotions and your feelings. You very much like to keep in charge of yourself, I suppose, in a sense that you like to, well, give us a sec, let me just check my thoughts.
So you want to get your belly going again.
Well, spit them out, we'll sort them.
can you understand there, Anne, though, with yourself, is a feel that, how do I put this in a way that we can, because how I say things is very different to how it's understood much of the time because of my Celtic background here in Wales, that's for sure. And there's a feel there that you put your feels and emotions on the back burner very much. There's a kind of feel there that you always question, or you do question your own awareness, your own ability. You're very open to spirit. That's the feel I have with yourself. But even so, you still question and question and question it. In a sense that you feel things have to be difficult for yourself in order for it to be easy for you. There's a kind of feel that you could write a book with what you've been through in your life. You've been through a lot of hard times there, is the feel there.
Yeah, because there's a sadness to your voice. I get sad when I feel about when I hear your voice. It's almost as if there's a loss there with you that you haven't quite got over. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because I feel there that you live by yourself as well, Anne.
No, I live with my husband.
Okay. I just get this feeling there that it's like a combination between what I'm trying to say and Paul's trying to say is where you have... I feel quite lonely with you. The feeling I get with the loneliness is the fact that you keep a lot to yourself.
Well, my husband's away a lot.
Right.
Okay, because it's a feeling on that... What it is, you're a very private person. You keep your cards very close to your chest with your feelings and your emotions. You very much like to be in charge then, and you because you're a very proud person also, you like people to see that you're doing well, you're okay, and even when you're not okay, you will portray yourself to be okay because you're very much, you're a proud, proud person. There was always expectations from you, is the feel there also from yourself, doing your upbringing, this kind of feel. There's a feel also there that almost if within your life you're two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Your foundations are very sort of secure there and there. Anne, is Dad in spirit there with yourself?
Yes, he is.
Can you understand that with Dad's passing, it's a kind of feel, it was a long haul to his passing. It wasn't an easy feel to it. It gives a feel it took a lot out of him before he passed there. Can you understand that also?
Well, I was glad when he passed.
Okay, well, no.
Yeah,
just a yes or a no there, Anne, because if you say too much, it mixes with my thoughts there. Can you understand that? I'll say again, with Dad, he gives a feel he took a lot out of him before he passed. He gives a feel it wasn't an easy passing for him. It looked difficult. Dad was a very independent person. He was someone that very much would have a go at anything. And it gives a feel there that it kind of took his dignity or took his pride from him before he passed because of what he was suffering with. That's the feel that Dad gives. It gives a feel he was suffering. It's almost as if he corroded from the inside out almost with Dad there. Can you understand the name David there with yourself?
Yes.
Okay, because also with Dad, now Dad gives a feel there that you're a lot like Dad in your way. It's almost as if your mom to look at, but Dad in your ways. Can you understand that also?
No.
okay.
I don't like to admit.
Okay, because Dad gives a feel. I say again, he gives a feel that Dad was a very deep person. Dad wasn't someone that showed his feelings. You knew Dad loved you, but it was a kind of feel that you just knew Dad loved you. He was. Oh. Dad gives a feel that he was in charge of his own feelings a lot. He gives a feel that what he was going through there before he passed, he wouldn't make a fuss. He didn't like doctors. He didn't like nurses. He was very independent in his way, is a feel Dad gives there. He gives a feel that he didn't like. How can I say this? Dad was someone that fought until he passed. Dad gives a feel there that he didn't want to go, but he had to go, in the sense that if he got over with what he was suffering with, his quality of life would have been worse again. Can you understand that?
I didn't see my dad for many years.
Yeah, so some of the passing things you wouldn't know, but a lot of what you're saying is very, close.
Can you take John there also, Anne?
John?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. And also there, just bear with me there. All right, my love. Can you take in Mom's spirit there with yourself also, Anne?
Yes.
Okay, can you understand Mom's passing? Very different to Dad's passing. There's a quicker feel to Mom's passing there.
I don't know how my dad passed.
No, with your mom there, can you understand there's a quicker feel to Mom's passing?
Okay.
Mom gives a feel as if it was a kind of feel where Mom had ill health, then she was okay, ill health, okay, and then I feel as if something harder, then it took her very quickly then, in a short space of time there. Can you understand that with Mom?
Yes.
Can you understand Mom was a very much an organizing person? Mom always had to be the organizer, in charge, had to have everything in its place. She was very much that kind of feel to Mom. Can you understand that also?
Yes.
You understand, Mom would say it as it was. She wouldn't beat about her words. She would say it as it was. Mom gives a feeling that she always expected respect from people. And she commanded that, but not in a harsh way, in a good way is a feel there with Mom. Mom was very much, she had a proper feel, a formal feel about her also. She gives a feeling that she wished that she was softer with yourself, is the way I'd like to describe it.
Because I feel that with that as well. That gives me a feeling like he's beginning is like one person, and by the end he's mellow, is the feeling that he gives me. That's the feeling that I get. Can you understand why Dad would be wanting to apologise to you for your childhood, though?
Yes.
Yeah, because he gives me a feeling he was too harsh. His priorities were all over the place, is the feeling that he gives me.
He was nasty.
Yeah,
okay,
that's it.
Okay.
Also, was there any alcohol with Dad?
Yes.
Okay, because Dad gives a feel... Oh, sorry, Dad. Right. We're both fighting over the microphone. Yeah, we are, aren't we? We are, because once we start...
Now, behavior, I'm going to get Dawn to hit you with a wet noodle.
Dad does give a feel there that when I go to Dad's upbringing, it was a very tough feel to his upbringing. Very rough and tumble is the way I would like to describe it, if you get what our meaning is there. Because Dad gives a feel there that with his life, it was a kind of feel of get up, get on with it. And there was a lot of harshness to his upbringing there. But he couldn't remove himself from that, is a feel that Dad gives. He gives a feel it was very difficult for him there, Deb. Do you get that also there?
Yeah, I do get that. But I also feel that, as you know, he gives me a feeling that he mellowed towards the end there, my love. And he also gives me a feeling that he could be quite arrogant in his manner.
Yeah.
But I feel there that this is all too... Just let you know that we've definitely got Dad, because if we said that Dad was a lovely, lovely person, you'd say, well, that's not my dad. So he's just giving me his money. He comes to me, I feel quite humble, actually, is, and the humbling feel to him about his mistakes of the past. I feel there as well that, like Paul said, he had a tough upbringing, but I feel he drank on it. And I feel that he couldn't control his emotions when he was in the drink. Does that make sense, Anne?
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel there that the main feeling he gives me is that all through your life, there is he wants to take responsibility for many of the mistakes that happened in your life regarding relationships, regarding especially the early part of your life as well. He just gives me a feeling that he wants to take responsibility for your mistakes. So.
Yes.
And just go back to your mother there also before we finish there with yourself. Mom is wanting to know that how proud she is of you because you give yourself no credit. Mom gives a feeling your confidence with yourself is very low at the moment. Because despite what you portray to other people, Mom is giving a feeling that your emotions are running very high, that almost if the tears come so far up, then you have to swallow them back down because you don't want people to know your business is a feeling. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because she just wants you to know, just walk proud, because she's wanting you to know also. Now she comes in, she gets very emotional here, in the sense that she just wants you to know, because you know Mom is around you, because she gives a feel that you, almost if you catch smells that don't relate to where you are, she does push in close to yourself. She gives a feel that you've called out. The only way you can describe it is it's almost if you put your head on your pillow at night and said, I can't get through this on my own. Can you please be there and help me through? And she's wanting you to know that she is there for you and you are going to move on, because it's almost as if, Anne, you want to pick your life up and move it away in order to better for yourself. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because she just wants you to know, be patient, because Mom says that you're one for jumping again. Or she says, once you dig your heels in, you're very stubborn, is the feel she gives also. And she's wanting you to know, be patient, hang on in there, because she's going to do what you needed to do in order for you to, I give a feel of, open your life up again, because she gives a feel your life has shrunk a little, because you were a very outgoing person. But it's almost as if what you've gone through, I'm not sure whether I'm with your health here, okay, but what you've gone through, she gives a feel it's not like it was. It's almost as if you're thinking too far ahead, and by doing that, you're sabotaging your own abilities, almost, is the feel she gives. And she says, no, you won't go through what others have gone through with health, because it's like some kind of, I don't know, inheritance in some kind of way. So when you look back in the family, people have suffered with the same kind of feel as the feel she gives there. It's not with yourself. Can you understand that?
Somewhat.
Like, for instance, somewhat. If there was some type of health situation that's been a family passed down, it's not going to happen to you.
Okay.
That's not hereditary.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good, guys.
Can you understand that, Anne? Anne, can I just finish there with Anne, please?
Sure.
Only that. Anne, you need to know that your mom is giving a feel there, okay? Because I know we're hitting, Anne, there's a lot of layers to yourself. Mom is giving a feel there that I know we're touching on things that are very close to your heart, but because Mom gives a kind of lonely feel there with yourself, but she wants you to know that be patient, because I'm talking about love, warmth, feels, and emotions. That's what Mom is touching on, saying be patient. It's going to turn around the way that you wish it to, because you're a very sensitive person and simplicity matters with yourself. It's the small things within the relationship and the life that matters to you more than anything. You're not a materialistic person. Mom gives a feeler, be patient, and what you're missing will very much come back, but hang tight, don't jump the gun. Can you understand that, Anne?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Do you have a son, Anne?
Yes.
I feel that your mother wants to say hello to your son, but I feel he's here, is he?
I have three sons.
Oh, right, okay.
Closer here, though. He is closer to her here.
Okay, because there's a feeling, oh, right, so there's a son that's closer. Because she just gives me a feeling there that, no, it's not that. It's kind of like the oldest. She wants to talk about the oldest boy that you have.
Yes.
It's giving me a feeling there that things are going to come right for him. I don't know if you're worried about him in some way, but she just gives me a feeling that she's on the case of that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because don't worry about it. I'm not sure what she means, but she just gives me a feeling. The eldest son, don't worry. It's almost as if she wants to take your worry away from you. She also wants to let you know that her and your father are in the spirit world and they're together. Okay. Because I've seen them like there's been a union, a forgiveness, loads of things. I saw your mother went through hell with your father, and she just wants to let you know that they're together and they're okay.
Thank you.
Also there, Ange, I know that we're stretching you, but your son, he sets his goals very high for himself, and he takes it personally when he doesn't get there either. Can you understand that? And this is a major thing for him. She gives a feel, he always learns the hard way there with himself. Can you understand that, Anne, about your eldest son?
Yes.
Okay, because she's just getting the feel of it's not as bad as well. Because she gives a feel, you only hear half the story from him. Don't worry, it's not as bad as what he's making things out to be. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Say with Chris. Can you understand the name Chris?
That's my youngest son.
Here we are. Okay, I just feel that she didn't want to leave you and the boys out either. And I feel also that when we go to Chris, he's going to sort himself out as well. I feel that he's coming to a point where things are going to settle down for him. He needs to be settled. He's reading to give speech. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. You know what I find really interesting, guys, is that when no matter what happens on the earth plane, and Anne had a very difficult childhood, which you discerned, with a mean-spirited father. I had a mean-spirited mother. And when they get into spirit, though, what is really interesting is that they're no longer mean-spirited, and they really see where they were not, where they were not what they would like to have been. But I wonder sometimes, and maybe you guys do too, if they're not what they're supposed to be to us so that we get where we're supposed to be.
Oh, exactly. They're there for our involvement just as we are for theirs.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes they're sacrificing their walk on this earth, I guess, to give us the character or give us whatever it is that we need to have. And although they're mean-spirited here, the minute they seem to go to spirit, it seems like as if they get this life review and they're thinking, you know, that I know I had a purpose there for her, like with my mom and her dad. They had their purpose to be what they were, but now they want to help you from a spiritual side, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Definitely, Barbara. I mean, my dad was exactly the same, and I have a better relationship with him now he's passed than I ever did when he was here.
Exactly, exactly.
Because what happens is that, you know, we all work this out before we get here, because I always try to say that the reason for being here, the reason we're here to learn these harsh lessons is so we can shine our soul up like a new penny.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I think this is where it really helps being able to facilitate the spirit through you as you do, because in some cases I know that I've had that happen in church too, where I've had somebody come in I don't know from Adam, and, you know, I'll look back there and I just say, well, you know, I see a father with you, and he was a very mean-spirited person. You couldn't say that to everybody. You certainly couldn't say that about my dad. And the man just about fell off his chair when I said it. And I said, you know, he wants you to know that he's there for you now. Well, later after church, he says, well, you know, he's 35 years too late. I said, well, not really. You know, he's come through for you now, and he's going to be there to help you emotionally. He's going to be there spiritually to help lift you and maybe give you ideas that are going to allow you to come through that. And this is where it's really tough, you know, because, yeah, we live with whatever that is for the whole of our life.
Yes, that's it. I mean, and if we can teach people to see the bigger picture that, you know, we're all here, we've all got our different characters. It's like, I don't know, was it Shakespeare that said all the world's a stage? And it is. We're here, we're playing characters. We play the characters in order to shine each other's souls up. That's what we're doing. And if everybody could see it that way, then grudges and things wouldn't be held so long.
Yeah. The other thing, too, let's talk a little bit about your trip to New York. You're going to leave there from Buffalo and come out and see us. But going into New York, how many days are you going to be in Lilydale?
We're 6 days there. We're arriving there on the 15th of August. We have a Sunday service there. Then we have a beginner's, an intermediate, and an advanced workshop there on consecutive days, the full day's workshops. Then we have the one-to-one readings, and then we are making our way up to you. So we're in Lilydale about 6 days there. We are.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice thing down there.
That'll be lovely. Yeah. I've never been to a spiritual camp before. I'm really looking forward to it.
And
well, abroad anyway.
Abroad, yeah.
Because, I mean, this year, amongst, as well as the workshops we're doing in the UK, this year, we have our own workshops where we do 1, 2, 3, and 4 day workshops here, but we are meeting up with, Harvey McCoy there, next week, which is a spiritual camp.
Yeah, try and say that when you've had a drink.
I mean, it's very well known in this part of the country, so we're meeting up there to do some week-long workshops, probably the end of the year or maybe the beginning of next year. So that's all good stuff again there. Barbara's fantastic. And, We have several weeks in Stansted College, myself and Deb, for our own teachings then, this year also. So it's a very busy year for us. It's really good.
Yeah, that's really great. And then, of course, you've got all this going on with the camera's going to maybe try following you around, which will be great.
Yeah, I mean,
still kind of secretive. We don't want to tell everybody the news until it breaks, but there's
a lot. Well, we can, you know, I mean, it's good stuff. I mean, as we've said, we spoke already there, Barbara, about this. You know, we met up with a production company in London, and we spent the day there in front of cameras, and they were testing us as
they were hard. They were hard.
They were hard, Barbara. You know, I mean, you've been there. But it's good. I mean, they want to do something a little different there. So the plan is to basically, if we can get things done sorted beforehand, then the crew will come out to Canada with us. But if not, what we'll do there is they're going to lock us away in some stately home with a handful of celebrities. Yeah. And the idea is we're going to teach those celebrities all week, and we'll send them out doing tasks, whether they'll be reading people in the street. The well-known Harrods store in London, we probably have them doing one-to-one readings from there.
Because Harrods have their very own medium.
Wow. How great is that, eh?
Yeah, they do. You can go and buy yourself a £1,000 pair of shoes, then spend another £1,000 on the one-to-one reading.
that's
well, who do they think they are? Sylvia Brown charging $1,000? Come on.
Oh, Barbara. Come
you should have some phone calls for that one, Barbara.
Oh, that's yeah. Well, she gets a Mickey taken out of her all the time anyway. So, and they do the same thing with me. But, you know, sometimes I kind of wonder, what do we do to be worth that much money? However, you know, and how many people can I actually help that really need help? That I can help the rich that need help. I can't help many of the poor that need help at that pace. Yeah. And I have another lady here by the name of Gail. I'm going to let Gail say hi to you. Seeing we're not getting any phone calls in, let's see what you can pick up for Gail. That's the Irish one. You should be able to do this well. You know, this Celtic angel should come out now.
Hi, Deb and Paul. This is the half Irish, half English lady.
Hello, Gail. I'm half Irish, half English too.
Yes, you did. Yes, I'm looking forward to your visit.
Yes, we're kind of like Jekyll and Hyde, aren't we, if we're half Irish?
You're darn right. I love it.
Okay. Should I start with you?
Okay, I'll start, because otherwise I just don't get a word in. Have you noticed?
Love it.
Okay, I was going to say, Gail, first of all, I feel that you're kind of like... You've got the... Yeah.
What?
You there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
We're going to move her up a bit here.
I'm here in body and spirit and mind, the whole bit.
I'm going to say that you have lovely, bubbly, outgoing personality. And I feel that's a true characteristic of yours. But also, I just feel there that sometimes it covers up the shyness that you have about yourself.
Very true.
Yes, because I just feel that, I don't think it's false in any way. I feel when you're comfortable... You're very funny.
That's right.
Once you're out of your comfort zone a little bit, then a shyness kicks in. But I feel you had that shyness from
that's
the
right.
Child.
That's right.
Child, you know?
I love that traditional feel about yourself. I love that. I love that. Your home to me feels like an open cafe. Do you know what I mean by that?
Probably not.
Do you use the word cafe there, Barbara?
No.
Don't you? What do you use the word?
Diner.
Diner, is it?
Yeah.
a cafe. It's like, I feel like your home there is like an open diner where you feed the street. And you always got people come in and you're always feeding everybody. I feel
I do it on the outside because I'm just in a studio suite. It's too small, so I help out people on the street sometimes. Just give them money or buy them food.
Absolutely, yes. So they get a very open field to you where you feed the street. They get very much that. I get feel there with yourself. As Deb said, there's a shyness there to you. But for yourself, trust is a major thing for you.
Absolutely.
It has to be there. It has to be important. And you've been incredibly, incredibly strict in how you accept the word trust in your life.
That's right. You got it.
So I have your little list of this is how I live my life, and there's a list there of tips, and if there's a little cross, you hit on it straight away. I won't have anybody hurting me. I've been hurt already. I'm not going to have it again. Okay?
You're right. Yeah.
Okay, because also, and it's, you know, they often say, you know, that the nicest people seem to get hurt in the hardest of ways, and it is very much, and you seem to bounce from one bad egg to another. Can you understand? It's like a kind of feel where all you want was trust, and for someone that you can trust, that understands you for you and does want to mold you into something that you're not. And that's been a problem there.
It used to be, not anymore.
Okay, but can you understand, though, that you have to be very clever in a sense? You have to almost read environments in how it was there. It was a kind of feel where you weren't allowed to be you. There was a lot of jealousy, a lot of control.
That's right. That was an 11-year relationship. I've been out of...
Don't say no more.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know better.
Okay. Now, Barbara, if she says anything other than yes or no, you charge her $10, okay?
Okay,
that's what we do.
Okay, so pocketbook, yeah.
I know we're going, I forget, what's the name? Gail, was it?
Yeah.
Gail, okay. Because we're going back a little there, okay, with the hurt and the upset, because... it's almost as if sometimes when you go into a life, you were very naive going into it because you're a very shy person and you expected the kind of fairy tale is the word. And it was like quickly you realised, oh my word, what have I done? But also because you're such a proud person, it's a case of I made my bed in it, I will lie in it and I will stick at it. But what it did then was it robbed your self-worth. Is a feel there. It robbed your confidence. But what you have to do is you have to learn to read environments because you knew how a night would be to almost how the key came through the door there for yourself. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because I also, you're not someone that likes to, you weren't brought up with harsh words and shouting and screaming, but it's something you have to deal with there also within that time.
But
out of that, the hard thing was you had to practically, bless her, like my love, Gail, is Mom in spirit there for yourself?
She sure is.
Can you understand that? If Mom was you, she gives a feel... No, wait, let me just see. Because also, who's that there? Okay. Oh, Gail, can you take a mother-in-law in spirit?
Mother-in-law? No, I'm not married. The relationship that...
Let me butt in here for a second. The relationship that you were in, was there a mother involved there?
To some degree, she's in spirit. Yeah, she's in spirit.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Because the when you were in that relationship, okay, the lad that you were with or the man that you were with, he was a blue-eyed boy to her.
He was a sweet darling.
I wasn't with a man.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well,
no, it's okay.
Just to clarify that, it wasn't a man, it was a woman.
It was a partner.
Okay, that's fine for me. I do apologize. That's my...
interpretation.
Yes, okay.
We see a mate as being the opposite. And it doesn't necessarily have to be. The general thing isn't.
Okay, let me do it this way then. The partner that you were with at that time was... the blue-eyed person to the mom. Or what was the word to use, Barbara?
Well, to baby, you know, really mama's girl. You know, nobody was going to be good enough for her.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. Because the feel is also that, I'll go to your mom in a second there, Gail, okay? But I just want to get the mother-in-law out the way first, okay? Because she wants you to know that you weren't given the credit that you deserved at the time. She wants you to know there was a lot of, you took a lot of secrets out of our life, and you still hold on to them secrets of the hurts you went through also.
That's right.
She gives the feeling that you protected someone when you didn't have to protect someone, and she's thanking you for that. Can you understand that?
Yes, you're welcome. To her.
Can you understand that she is thanking you for protecting someone there when you didn't have to?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, because you have to practically be thrown out of that relationship, the feeling she gives, in order to get out of it. Because it was hard for you, and you had to be removed in such a way that your self-respect couldn't allow you to go back there. Can you
understand?
That's
right, absolutely.
Okay, and that was the only way to get you out. But when we go to your mom now in spirit.
Okay.
Hello. Okay, bless.
Oh, he's allowing me to come in now.
He's letting her come in now.
Oh, God, I do apologize. Okay, but, go on, Deb.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel there must be a dog in the spirit world for you. I know that's a bit mad. Is there a dog?
A friend's dog, yes, that I know. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get the dog out of the way first because I just felt that there was a dog there.
There's a couple.
Okay, good. I also feel that, I lost it, love.
Okay, let me come back in then, okay? Let me go back to the mom there, because, okay, we're going to go with your mom, okay? Because mom gives a feel also that, how can I explain? I get a complicated feel to mom's passing, okay? So just give us a sec there. All right, my love, just give me a minute. Hello.
Hi, are you there, Dawn?
I'm just waiting for my belly to pick back up there, Barbara. That's
what
I'm doing.
I also feel on scale that you will be married, though.
I will be?
I feel you will be, yeah.
Committed relationship.
A committed relationship.
Yeah. To a woman, I feel you'll be married. It feels like there'll be a ceremony for you. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Wonderful. And that is a marriage. So this is the one thing that a lot of times I'm going to butt in here just to help out anybody that's listening. Sometimes when I'm doing a reading, somebody will say to me, when am I going to get married? And I'll say, but you are married. They say, no, I'm not married to him. Well, yeah, you are. You know, because basically what happens is when you make a committed relationship, you are married. You may not be churched, but you're married, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So spirit doesn't know the difference. If you made a commitment to somebody, that means that you have dedicated yourself to them and to be all that you can be for them and to them. So, you know, you're going to pick it up as a marriage. And so to clarify for a lot of people out there, the minute that they're in a real committed relationship and there's a real commitment there, then it is a marriage. And like the mother-in-law would be a mother-in-law even though there wasn't like a church wedding.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And she's basically saying, I understand that you did a lot that you didn't get credit for, and that is so nice that she stepped in and did that, right? And what you're saying is that she's going to get another committed relationship and that it will be a marriage-like commitment, which...
And I feel that there'll be a ceremony for herself as well.
Well, like, I'll marry her.
Like Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah!
Okay, let's just quickly go to your mom there in spirit. Because can you understand that sometimes they say the nicest of people pass in the harshest of ways?
Absolutely.
That's where we are with your mom there. Can you understand? Mom carried her heart on her sleeve.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's strange that you're very different to mom in a way that there's no gray area for yourself. Mom gives a feel it either it is or it isn't for you.
That's right.
You don't like the bit in the middle where mom was quite comfortable.
Yes.
Can you understand that, Gail?
Yeah.
Yeah, she says she can. You there?
Okay. It's strange when you can't see the person, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a good example for people out there that think you do cold readings or body reading.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, because there's absolutely no way that you're seeing this person and we're, like, miles and miles away. You'll know that when you get even to New York, how long it's going to take you to fly here. You'll know how far away it is.
Yeah. But just back there with your mom there also. I know that we have Barbara on the phone on the other end with us there, Gail. But can you take another Barbara or the name Barbara or Babs?
Barbara, yes. That was
I'm not talking about Barbara sitting here with us now. I'm looking for another Barbara there.
It's my last partner.
Okay, okay, lovely, fantastic. Also, can you take the name Sue, Susan?
Yes.
Okay, now let me just...
I want Mary as well.
Mary, is it? Also looking for Mary?
Yeah, Barbara, her name was Mary as well.
Okay, fantastic. But let's just go back to Gail, your mom there, okay? Because why I want to go there is, there was, with mom's passing, there was complications with mom passing, okay?
Absolutely. And
there's a feeling also, Gail, that if things were found earlier, she would have lasted a little longer, is the feel the mom gives. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because mom gives a feel also that, do you know, if no matter how tough it was for mom, you would never think it was tough for her. Mom would never show that she was going through pain, show that she was going through hurt. Mom was someone that was, she was a tough character that cared about other people's emotions.
That's right.
She wouldn't put herself on other people either.
That's
no matter, you go to mom, and mom says to you that you would go to mom, and you would say to her, how are you feeling today? And she would say to you, I'm fine, but you knew just by looking into her eyes that she wasn't, but you couldn't tell her otherwise.
That's right.
That's right, because she's just given a feel of how proud she is. I know we said this earlier in the last link there, but she's just given a feel of how proud she is because you'd stuck to your guns, you dug your heels in and thought, no, I'm not going to go back into old habits and old ways. I'm not going to go back and do what I normally do because I end up getting hurt that way. And I'm in a relationship field with this also because it was terribly hard for you because you had nothing coming out of it.
That's right.
You just, you know, how proud she is. You dusted yourself down, picked yourself back up. And also there, Gail, it's just know that, I mean, I don't have to tell you that mom is around you because you're incredibly open to spirit. You're very much aware of it around you. You catch it all your time. You glance it. You know it's there. You know mom is there because she gives a feel like you've almost felt that sat on the bed with yourself and touched you with the feel she gives there.
That's
she gives a feel that you're a hammer or you're a whistler or you're a singer around the home. Can you understand that?
All three of them.
Okay, because she gives a feel you do a lot of talking to yourself.
That's right.
Not allowed, but the nights are difficult for you because she said you worry yourself silly in the nights. They're terrible nights. But she's wanting you to know that don't you fret. There's nothing going to come back and hurt you again the way you've been hurt, and you can now embrace those coming into your life. But you have to, and she's insisting that you have to leave go. You have to let go of what was there and not feel that you did anything wrong because it wasn't you were doing. Can you understand that?
In the relationship?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I understand. No, I totally agree with you.
Okay, because she just confirmed. Can you take a Barbara Robert?
Barbara Robert?
Robert, yes. I feel as if I want to go, I'm still, yes, I feel...
My Uncle Bob.
Is that on your mom's side?
It's her sister's...
Okay, that's good enough. Yeah, that's all. So all I'm looking for is because I'm feeling that mom puts herself on the right-hand side. I mean, I feel as if I want to go there. So she's just confirming there also that. And a Clive or a Clint?
Don't know. Don't know.
Do you know when I go to... Give us a sec there. Alright, I do see. Do you know when you look back in a family, can you understand that, Gail, it gets very fragmented, it's split apart in some way?
Yes.
Look back a little, because I know that that you said before we started that there's Irish background there with yourself.
Right. Yes.
But I don't want to come there. I'm in Canada or I'm somewhere over there, but it's almost that the family broke itself apart and it's very fragmented all over the place.
My dad died before I was born.
Okay, I understand. That makes sense to me now. Because I'm looking for a field where the family is where the family is very much, I don't know, out of touch or not in touch with each other. It seems very all over the place there. Do you get that?
Yeah. Is there a Bill or a William?
Yes, that was Mum's fourth. That was the last person my mum was with. Pat.
Is he with your mum? Because I get that feeling.
Yes, he's passed.
Yeah, because I get a feeling he's with your mum as well.
Okay.
And she's laughing because she seems to be feeling like fourth time lucky. I think he was a nice guy to her. Can you understand that as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a kind of feeler with the Bill or the William. He was like an old toot stuck in his ways.
Absolutely.
A very easy, laid-back person. This is my chair, and this is where I like to sit every
day.
Right.
That's where he died. That's where he died.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Who smokes? Did he smoke?
Oh, like a chimney.
Yeah, that's it. And I just feel, I don't know whether he ever rolled his own, but he gives me that feel.
Well, I think he and my dad are probably hanging out together doing their own work. This day and age, they'd think they were smoking marijuana. My dad used to roll his own, and when he wanted menthol ones, he'd put Bic's Vapor Rub in the cigarettes and smoke them, and the kids would say, "Granddad, we'll get you some menthol cigarettes." No, I can't. Can you imagine? Just curled my toes to think about it. We had a really good lot of fun, you guys, so we won't probably have another on-air conversation, but you and I have a lot of conversations, and so we'll be getting more excited as time gets closer. It just seemed like it was a long time getting here, and then now it's just going like crazy. It's going so
crazy. I mean, when do we start talking, Barbara? Was it in October, September?
Yeah, around October, November, I think, when we started actually putting together that we were going to do it, you know, do so. Yeah.
All the little ducks in the row, as Barbara would say.
I've got to get all our ducks in the row and make sure we do what we're doing. Yeah, they're easier to shoot out of the water if they're in the row. It's time you hit the next one.
Barbara, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm on air with you tonight. It's always a pleasure.
It's spending
time with you on the radio, that's for sure.
It is. Is that Don listening to us? Don, are you there? Well, maybe. No, he's not there yet. I was going to give him a rough time and see if you guys could pick up something on Don before he goes, but he's not on yet. I thought maybe if he came on and talked to us, we could say, "Hey, Don, we'll give you a little free reading here." You really don't know an awful lot about Don either. You've never met him.
Well, I'm here.
But, you know, he is an absolute sweetheart. BBS Radio has been very good to us. And, you know, down the line sometime, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get back on more of a regular basis, and maybe you guys will join us.
Thank you.
There he is. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, I apologize. I just hate wearing headphones, and so we got the speakers going. You might hear a little feedback. I hate doing that to your program.
Right. So. We just wondered if you would do a little
dance.
You want just a little quick reading?
You're down to me. Hey. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
that sounds correct.
Really quickly for the next 3 minutes.
Yeah, hammer me.
Yeah, they don't know anything about you, Don, other than the radio station.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Sure. Yeah. I'd love one. Thank you.
Have you ever been read, Don? Have you ever been for a reading, or have anybody ever read you?
I think a few. Well, there have been a few that have read me, yeah. Or tried to, or said they did, or wanted to.
Have they found then that you're a very complicated person, and possibly very complicated to read, but not to read as from me to you, but there's a lot of layers to you there, Don,
that's for sure.
And I think it takes someone a long time to get to know you very well. Because you give yourself up in little bits at a time there, because you're not someone that likes to do small talk then, that's for sure. The kind of feel there with yourself, Don, you're a very straight talking person, but also someone that doesn't like to waffle, I suppose. Do you use the word waffle over there, Don? Hello?
Well,
are you there?
Yeah, you could be right. I thank you. Usually, I think it's more because I'm so busy. Like, I'm on the air with you, but they have a caller who's about to come off, and they have two more callers waiting. So I try to juggle what I can do. I screw up most everything, but I love it. So, it'd have to be a passion. I couldn't do it. You'll have to excuse me, honestly, for just a second. I'll be right back.
All right, we'll let you go and answer the phones again. He's handling three radio stations at the same time here.
Yeah, I was just going to tell him he was a workaholic.
Yeah. And actually, you got them pretty good, actually, from what I have read of them, too. And I had the pleasure of meeting Don for a really short visit. He came up with his brother, and they came up to the chapel and spent a few hours with us and had lunch. And I was just really totally impressed by both of them.
Yeah,
so
a lot of integrity with him.
Yeah, and they're really dedicated to what they do. You know, because definitely if it were a case of just being in it for the money, they would have closed it down a long time ago.
Like us.
Yeah, well, like the rest of us, you know, that are you know, but the thing is that eventually you stick to it. Spirit just brings the right things in. So things are starting to really boom for BBS Radio. They've got a number of stations on now, not just one station. They've got three at least running, and then they've got a couple of other stations that are on online. And so they're really juggling. And to try and the other thing that's difficult, I guess, is just trying to find people that are proficient at doing what you're doing and trying to juggle all those things. And that's not easy to find. But he, you know, he just seemed to be the type that can really get his mind on something and stay on track.
You'd have to, if you got radio shows all over the place,
wouldn't
it? You'd have to be multitasking.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds off like you, Barbara.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just like we're really going to town here. It won't be too long until Don will be wanting to move us off. So anyway, I'd like to talk a little bit more about you arriving here. The big show that's going to go on the day after you come, the 22nd. Little bit by little bit, we're getting it sold out. Hopefully, we're going to have a sellout on it, but everything else seems to be full. Penticton wanted you to really know that they have got lots of things going on up there. Celebration Church up there, or center, is all ready for you. They've got all the workshops sold, all the readings sold, and they're taking a larger facility for the Dems, so they're pretty excited about you guys coming up there.
Oh, that's lovely.
And then, as you know, this, look, what are we doing here? Just a second. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward
to... Well, you'll have to call me back in a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to the Saturday 22nd there in the Surrey Arts Theatre, Studio Theatre in...
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun. And
yeah, it's going to be a good night, a good demonstration evening there.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun all the way down the line. You guys are going to really be working. I think you'll have to go home to get a rest. Well, I thought your schedules were heavy when I looked at your internet, but I'll tell you, we've kept right up with it there. And so we will be picking you up from the airport. And definitely bring all the phone numbers and everything with you just in case that something happens that we get missed. I'll give you my cell number so that if you're in the big airport and you can't find me, you can call me on my cell and get all that ready for you. So, girls, they did a great job, right?
Thank you very much. Many blessings to you both.
Thank you.
Okay, and you take care. And we'll sign off and get... let Don go crazy with the rest of the guys that are down there. And thanks, Don, for all that you've done. It's just fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to sign off.
You know, thank you. I love everyone. You know, I love you, Gary. Thank you very much. Honestly, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Well, we really love having you, and we'll give you a call again soon, Don.
Please do.
Yeah,
thank
back
you.
Online.
Thank
and thanks
you.
To
I'd
everybody
love to hear
that
from
we're
you.
Listening.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Don.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.